Blog Talk Radio.
Time is taking flight. Now we have to tell if it's worth the fight.
Hello, welcome to a Tuesday edition of the Wicked Conversation. I'm your host, the man with the mic, Kyle. Welcome to a wonderful conversation. We're back, folks. I took some time off a couple days, but I want to thank you so much for tuning in to the conversation tonight. I remember John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only begotten son, that whoever not believe in him will not perish, but have eternal life. Think about that as you're going through your day to day. And I want to get into John Dingell, who talked about, he's the longest serving representative in history from Michigan Democrat. And he's talking about how we need to abolish the Senate and the Electoral College. It's not fair. It's not this. If it helped Hillary, they would love it. But if it helped Trump, they would hate it. You know, it's how this world works. I want to get into former president, the 41st president, George Herbert Walker Bush. I got to see him speak. An amazing guy. I didn't 100% agree with him, but nonetheless, an amazing person. He loved this country. Also, I want to also get into this. Where is it? This is crazy. Where is it? There is a male gym teacher who was punished for refusing to oversee a middle school girl get undressed in a boy's locker room. I'm going to get into that. Also, there's many other things I want to get into, like a professor that says that the Virgin Mary didn't give consent. You can't make this stuff up. You can't make this stuff up, and that's someone teaching our kids. That's the sad part. I also want to get into the fact that in Oregon, we're one step closer to legalizing magic mushrooms. They actually have benefits. Not many people know that. They actually can help with cluster headaches and possibly with memory and all that stuff. And I also want to get into a CVS employee who was in Greenfield, Indiana, who was fired for stopping a thief and all that stuff. So I want to welcome you to the conversation that I hope you feel a part of. And those of you who are listening and tuning in from around the world, thank you so much. And welcome to the conversation. We're back. It's just been, I took some time off. I've been working ungodly hours, so it's kind of nice. But there's been a lot of talk. I want to get into this first. There was a lot of talk about the CVS employee in Green, because I'm from Indiana, so people have been, this has been a hot button issue, about how he was fired for stopping a thief. And when I worked at Video Update, if someone was to rob you, you just give them whatever. You don't do anything. You just let them take whatever. You don't try to fight them. You don't try to, you know, unless you feel like, okay, if I give him all the money, he's still going to try to shoot me, then I'm going to try to defend myself. But, you know, I mean, it's sad that this employee actually got fired for it, but a lot of company policies are you just do whatever they tell you, given we're insured, whatever, just give them the money and just go from there. So it's one of those things that
So
I guess, Melissa, you're telling me that, like, if you didn't fight back against the assailant?
No, not if I didn't fight back. If I had over $100 in cash in my drawer, and if they took all the oil and stuff that was set outside, you were fired.
That's weird. Why would that? So, like, if a guy came in with a gun and robbed you, you'd be fired over that?
If I had over $100 in my drawer. I didn't drop it into the safe.
And if he put a gun and told you to open the safe?
You can't. It's the thing where there was a split. There's a special set place and stuff that they
have. Well, most people wouldn't care. They'd say, okay, if you can't get me the money out of the safe, bam, they'd kill you.
I'm just saying that.
I'm just saying, you know. But anywho, I mean, see where we were, you were just told to give the guy whatever he wanted. There you go. Don't even, you know. But you know, it's weird how like where my wife worked. So you could, they can, you know. So like you constantly see, we had managers that were the only ones that could take money out of the drawer and whatever.
No.
And,
during rush hour, and normally the manager was there and
yeah.
gave it to her and she dropped.
Yeah.
But you couldn't keep that money in the door.
Yeah.
You had to write down when you made the drop.
Yeah. But that's just, it's just weird because that happened in my home state. So it's just one of the, it was a big hot button issue because everyone's like, well, you know, where we are, we're told, like I've always been told, to take whatever. You know, you just give them whatever they want and let it go. But this is crazy, because when I was in school, we would have died to have a chick undressing in our locker room when we were, like, in 6th or 7th grade.
Was he supposed to be watching her so no boys would mess with her?
I from the vibe I get from the video, from the articles I've read, is, because I found two of them, that he was supposed to be, like, chaperoning her and overseeing that she could undress and do all this stuff without people bothering her.
Okay.
You know, and he refused. He goes, this is a boy's locker room. A woman should not be here. I don't care. If she thinks she's a woman, that's fine. I mean, when I was in school, if you had a women's volleyball team and boys coach and a guy coaching them, When they were dressed, then he would come in, and there would always be a woman with him, like an adult woman.
We never had a man in our locker room.
Oh, like if you had like a volleyball team where you had a male coach, once they were completely dressed, he would come in with a woman, you know, and he would be like, "Hey, this is." You know, that way there was nothing going on. But it's one of those things that, you know, now it's like, well, I'm a female and I think I'm a, you know, I think I'm a giraffe, so I'm having a dolphinoplasty, so I mean, I never thought I would see a day where my dream would come true. I mean, back then, though. Because back then, we used to sit there and steal, try to take boys' underwear and try to throw it in the women's locker room so that they had to go in and get it. And then some people would just go to the teacher, man, they threw my underwear in the women's locker room. And then, you know, and then, like, dude, I guess I got to go in and get it. Woohoo! You know, but all jokes aside, it's a weird world we're getting into. Just like there's a university, I forget where, I was reading an article where they don't want to call them freshmen because that's offensive, that's sexist. They're calling them freshmores. You're a freshmore because freshmen is sexist to women. This bullcrap has to stop. This, well, he said freshman, so I can't be a freshman because I'm a woman. Freshman is just a term.
Okay, I was in the ninth grade. That's a freshman. F you. I'm not the fresh more. No.
It's bullcrap.
The sophomore and a freshman.
It's sort of like Star Trek. It's to boldly go where no man has gone before, as in mankind, as in human beings.
Right.
It was not in the terms of male or female. Bigots. Piss me off. Well, I'm offended because that refers to males. So, okay, so it's like this one person, because I looked into possibly at one time selling Baker's Life Insurance until I found out you're just a door-to-door life insurance salesman. And someone goes, what do you think Baker's Life means? I said, it's an insurance company. I thought you sold homeowners insurance, car insurance, motorcycle insurance, boat, all kinds of insurance. Well, what's Baker's Life? What do you think life is? I'm like, well, then what does Allstate sell? State insurance? What does Progressive sell? Liberal insurance? I mean, come on.
They sell it all. Allstate,
Yeah, they said. I thought that'd be like having an office. Oh yeah, because when I looked into the insurance, when I looked into people that did the interviews. Oh, it's like it basically anyone can get a job there. All you do is you go there and hey, if you meet these basic requirements, they basically teach you everything you need to know to sell insurance. But you know, it's a different world we live in, you fresh moors. Well then, why don't you call them fresh women and fresh men? You're a fresh man and you're a fresh woman. It's sort of like, I mean, I support PETA somewhat to a very little extent, but any more, they're getting to be ridiculous because you shouldn't say, you know, to kill two birds with one stone because that's wrong because that's, you know. So you should say to feed two birds with one stone. Actually, you don't want to do that because if you feed a bird a scone, it'll explode. I don't understand this world we live in. It's just ridiculous. It's a bunch of bull honky. Wow. It's interesting, folks. It really is. This world we live in. You know, and I wonder if that gym teacher, if he would have sat there and said, I'd be, okay, you're going to fire me over this or punish me over it? Okay, go ahead. Because what would have happened if he would have done it? If he would have overseen her and watched her and made sure no one did anything to her? Would he be called a pervert? Would they go after him? How dare this male teacher stare or watch this young girl undress in the boys' locker room? How dare him? That child molesting pervert. Where's Chris Hansen? Where's Dateline? Where's To Catch a Predator? He needs to go to prison. That child pornography rapist male. How dare he? But since he didn't do it, how dare you, insensitive bigot, that this young girl who thinks she's a boy has to get dressed in the male. I'm glad I grew up when I grew up, when males went in the male and the women went in the women. I know I have some friends I went to school with that they, like, when they first went into the locker room, they go, damn, I'm gay. Yep, I'm a lesbian or whatever the case may be, but we didn't have this male, female, all that, none of that. I don't know. Well, that's what happens when you have, when the world runs wild. I mean, there is a teacher who has been let go because he told kids that Santa's not real. Are you kidding me? Santa's not real? Of course he is. And do you think parents can wrap all those gifts and put them under the tree in one day? No. Santa does that with the help from all his elves. Wow. Just, I mean, I'm surprised he could even bring up Santa Claus just for the fact that, you know, I've known people that, well, you can't, if you have to sit there and have a holiday time, and what the holiday time was is, okay, if you celebrate Christmas, you come up and you tell the class what you do during Christmas, okay? You celebrate Kwanzaa, what do you celebrate? And it had to be like, you would have to have times where you could bring everyone up, okay, you're Jewish, okay, what do you celebrate? What do you do? If you celebrate Diwali, do they do anything? Okay, what do you do if you're this? What do you do if you're Jewish? Whatever the case may be, and you hadn't, you know, you couldn't sit there and, because, well, you can't have a party because some people don't believe in parties. So you can't even have a party because even if it's just Well, see, we don't believe in celebrating anything, so I couldn't be a part of it. Oh, yeah, they don't believe in anything. No birthday. Yeah. Lord help you. But the case being, folks, this world is... Well, I'm offended because you have Christmas on your calendar. Well, what holiday do you celebrate? And we'll add it too. That way you can be included. This is bullcrap. I'm getting it. Just turning. We're suing you. I want $500 million because you have Christmas on the calendar, you bigot. Well, we're not Canadian, but on a lot of calendars, they have Boxing Day listed. I swear, this country is just falling apart. Should have gotten in the Partridge Family bus and shot all the liberals while we had a chance. Now, you heard me right. The Partridge Family bus. But it was in a pear tree. Yes, yes, yes. The world we live in, where teachers tell kids that Santa isn't real. That if he's at the mall, then who's at Lowe's? And if he's at Lowe's in the mall, then who's at the pet store? But this is how bad it's getting. Because John Dingell, the longest serving representative in history, calls for the abolishment of Senate and the Electoral College. John Dingell, a former Michigan Democratic congressman who served nearly 60 years in office, wrote Tuesday that the Senate and Electoral College should be abolished because they disappropriate the influence and they don't help the smaller, less populated states. You know, if you're in a big state and you have lots of people versus a small state, it doesn't help the disproportionate states and all this bull crap. And this country is falling apart, and the American politics are going down because of a Trumpist mindset and all this. And, you know, and the Reagan folksy assertion that the government is not here to help. The government is not here to, they're the problem. The government doesn't solve any problems. You noticed how there really was no government when we founded this country? When we built this country and started this country, there was a hospital still going that they wanted to have government funded. And Benjamin Franklin and many of them said, no, we're going to fund it ourselves. We're going to go out to the people and we're going to make it happen on our own. And it still goes on today. If it was a government-run hospital back then, they would still be paying off the principal debt. No, you hate Trump and his mindset because he wants to get rid of your BS. He's tired of these. I'm tired of these billionaire politicians trying to tell me how to live my life. I'm tired of people with a 20-foot wall around their house telling me you shouldn't have one at the border. Let me tell you something. I think we should let all these, that caravan, let them. Okay, folks, I want to go down to the border and I want to give the caravan people, here's a map to Nancy Pelosi's house. She wants you there. I want to be a reporter. I'd be going, Nancy Pelosi, would you be willing to house all these caravan people since you want them here in your home? You want them? We'll bus them to your place. I'll pay for the buses. You can house them all in your house. That's what I want to see.
Chiefs on the right is saying that Vanity Fair is reporting it's in the top. Trump might be replacing Pence with Nikki Haley.
For vice president?
It's not confirmed or anything.
I've never heard of that happening. Can they actually do that?
Yeah, we can pick a different Republican. There's a bunch of Republicans even talking about trying to go up against him for the nomination.
Well, you mean like when he runs again in 2020? Not like replace him like tomorrow.
No, in 2020.
Oh, well, that's there. I thought you meant like replace him like right now. Like.
No. When he runs in 2020.
Yeah, that's what I. Yeah, that's what I was going to say. He can do that in 2020, but he can't replace him now.
Right.
That's what I was confused about.
Sorry.
Hello.
Hello, how are you, sir?
Good.
This is Mr. Research calling in. I'm a fellow conservative, but I have a question because I tend to ask a lot of conservatives this question, if you have time.
Sure. Go ahead.
Okay. So I've been a conservative since 86, and I'm a Edmund Burke, John Adams type of conservative. I'm into the numbers more than I am into the who's click and that type of stuff. So
yeah.
My question is like the deficit in debt is higher than it's ever been. How do you as a conservative feel about the deficit in debt bouncing back up this high? I mean, under Cheney, it exploded, then it came down, and now it's going back up again. How do you feel about this as a conservative?
I don't like the deficit. I mean, Barack Obama spent more money than any president from George Washington to the end of Ronald Reagan's presidency. I don't want the deficit to go up. I want it to go down. And that's the one of the biggest things I see with the deficit is, okay, you have a hurricane. Well, do you not help these people, or do you add more debt and give a check to these people? We have wildfires. Do you help California and give them money, or do you not? And that adds, you know, I think with the auto bailout, I think these auto manufacturers need to pay back the money. I think GM should pay back the money. And that's one big thing I think they need to do is, a lot of these companies, if you get a bailout from the government, you should pay it back. I mean, Amtrak runs on a loss. They forecast for a loss every year so that they can get money from the government.
Well, using that same theory, let me ask you. Being that gave no compete contracts to Halliburton for something in Iraq that we all know now that didn't exist, Halliburton pay that money back?
Oh yes, I think they should pay that money back when they did stuff that turned out to be for this purpose that ended up not being true. They should pay it back. Yes.
Okay. The only reason I ask is because I tend to I'm a black guy, so I tend to speak with people who now all of a sudden are going against their conservative values. They didn't like what Barack did, but now that Mitch McConnell's doing it, it's okay. And I just don't understand that inconsistency. They didn't like, they were okay when Dick Cheney did it, but when Gore and Clinton did it, it was a problem. And I don't see how that's conservatism. If the numbers are growing, and you're just like in Trump's case, and I know some people love Trump, but if you're adding $1.5 trillion, that's not conservatism. And I don't even blame Trump for that because Trump didn't write the bill. Mitch McConnell wrote it. So I'm like, how can you write a bill for $1.5? Where's that going to come from? And everybody was like, okay, well, Paul Ryan's going to cut into Medicare. Okay, if that happens, where's that going to come from? And now Paul Ryan's going to leave. Okay, wait a minute. Once again, who's going to pay for the 1.5?
Yeah.
And that's what I ask a lot of people. But I thank you very much for being consistent in saying that Halliburton should pay it back too, because that's where all of our surplus money went. It went to Halliburton. It didn't actually go to a war. It went to Halliburton.
Exactly.
Thank you so much, sir.
You're welcome. Thank you. Bye-bye. But that's, as like my caller said, that's the inconsistency we have in this country. Well, I think Mitch McConnell is he's very left-leaning. You know, some of these, see, the problem we have in this nation is we have a lot of people that basically, they may have a D in front of their name, but they are pretty conservative, or they have an R in front of their name, and they're very, very progressive. And, you know, we need to be consistent here, you know. It's like I said in some of my older programs, if you're a longtime listener, I love some of the things Trump has passed. Do I like the way he passed it through executive order? No. I want it to go through the branches of judicial government. The House, the Senate, you know, the way the government was designed. Not just one dictator in the office, because it's only a matter of time before a liberal gets in there that, okay, executive order, we're not going to have freedom of speech. Executive order, no more Second Amendment. Remember, the Second Amendment is not about guns. The Second Amendment was designed for us to protect ourselves from a totalitarian government, whether it's now, yesterday, 10 years ago, 500 years in the future. It was to give us the ability to protect ourselves from a totalitarian government that's trying to run our lives and own ourselves. You know, I think GM needs to pay back the debt. I think a lot of these companies and groups that have been given billions of dollars, whether it's under Barack Obama or George Bush or Bill Clinton, they need to, that needs to be paid back. And as simple as that. I mean, it's nice to see, though, when you have people waking up, hey, I live in South Chicago. There is not a white Tea Party Republican within 50 miles of me. How can you blame this on them? I'll support anybody that's going to help us out. Well, why don't you, I mean, I grew up in an age where, okay, hey, here's some clothes. We're outgrowing them. Maybe your kids can use them. Here's a stroller. You know, now it's like, well, this is, you know, people try to get stuff. Like, oh, yeah, I'll sell you the stroller. They won't hear. I mean, at least where I work, a lot of people don't make a lot. So we share and we give and we get back. Here you go. Here, you can have this. I mean, we'll have people bringing baby clothes. Hey, I can't use them. You can have them, you know. But a lot of people will try to get what they can for them, try to sell them, try to get, you know, instead of, like, everyone helping everyone out. When I grew up, everyone helped everyone out. Everyone did for everybody, you know. The debt keeps, I don't want the debt to keep rising. I want my dollar to be more valuable, like I talk about in my program a lot. I want to have a valuable dollar. I want to have $30 an hour. I want to have a $5 an hour job, and I want to have my $5 an hour to be like what you think $30 an hour is going to be. I want to have a time here in about 20 years to where one person can work and provide for a family of four, whether it's the man working or the woman working. Because I've had people contact me and write me, and I only want, since I think that we should go back to a time with a one-income household, that I don't want women to work. I never said women. I said maybe the wife wants to work and the man stays home. And my wife, since she would love if I made enough that she could just stay at home and clean up around the house and just take it easy. She has fibromyalgia. She would love that. She would love to be able to not do as much or not work as much. But with the dollar being so devalued, it's ridiculous. I mean, but like my wife brought up a great point, because I want to bring gold and silver and stuff value back to our dollar. And I think it would strengthen the dollar again. But then at the same time, my dad brought up a great point that my wife has brought up many times. It's worth what you can get for it. If you can get $100 for a pen, it's worth $100. If you can get $1 for it, it's worth $1. And that's kind of how this whole thing worked. I mean, I remember when they used to have five roast beef sandwiches for $5. Now it's like $6.95. And there's probably 35% less meat in them. And, I mean, I got to hear the 41st President George W. Bush, Herbert Walker Bush, speak. Incredible. I'm a huge cannabis supporter. I want to get into some of the stuff going on with that here in a little bit. I'm a huge cannabis supporter, and he talked about getting drugs out of our high schools and da da da. And I'm like, you know, they can't keep drugs out of solitary confinement. How can they keep them out of the streets? And what people are starting to find out that all these laws, where all these places where they've legalized it, it's not getting worse. But George Herbert Walker Bush was amazing. He was a sole survivor of a plane crash in World War II, and he dog paddled and was picked up by a submarine. He was an amazing man, loved this country, loved his family, loved God. Whether you liked him or not, he was a great American. Some liberals just liked him recently because he kind of went against Trump, but he was just to see him speak. Incredible. Incredible. I'll never forget that. When you got to see the choppers come in and Secret Service and all that stuff. It's like, wow. Snipers everywhere. But he was just a honest man with what he believed. And it was a different time. It's just weird to see, like, a lot of the things I grew up with going to the wayside. A lot of people I remember from TV. But, yeah, he was a great American. And to think that I think he got accepted, I think it was the Yale, and turned it down so he could be in the Air Force Reserves. But, yeah. But it's one of those things that as we move forward, you know, like one of the big things he in the speech was talking about getting drugs out of our high school and drugs out of this and how dare you and drugs and all this stuff. And what is it? Oregon is now very close to becoming the first state to legalize magic mushrooms. I don't know but you can buy magic mushroom spores all day long on the internet. It's only if you cultivate them that it's federal offense. But they're showing, there's a documentary, if you go on YouTube, look it up, about a guy that suffers from cluster headaches. And he has tried everything under the sun. He is in so much pain. And when he takes these magic mushrooms and grinds them up and then puts them into capsules and has like 3 capsules or 4 capsules, he trips his balls off. But and he hates it, but he said he can go like a month without cluster headaches. And these magic mushrooms are amazing, and they're looking at possibly showing life with memory and all kinds of things. And it's just amazing. I think it's just awesome that, you know, that these might actually become a thing moving forward. Now, I want to get into this because this is really cool. The final farm bill would make hemp legal, and other details revealed. Now the thing I want to see is with this is I want to have cannabis legal. I want to have hemp legal and all that stuff, but I don't want it to be like regulatively, like excessively regulated. How would you say that? Like legalized, where. Yeah, it's legal, like medical marijuana is legal in Pennsylvania, but it's only in a tenured form. You can never, it's illegal to smoke, it's illegal to have flower, it can only be in like a liquid form, and that it's very restricted. There's a couple of states where they technically have medical marijuana, but you have to have proof that you've tried every single solitary prescription, and as long as, like, if Lortab's cool for you, you gotta use it. Or if Oxycontin can work, you have to have it. Yeah, hey, it works. You know, so it's like you have to go through all these loopholes before you can get something that works. I mean, so, I mean, we're trying to read more into the, I'm trying to find more into the actual, like wording of the law to see what it would pertain to in terms of, is it going to be like, yeah, it's legal, but if you have 0.00001% THC, oh, sorry, we're going to have to burn it all, you know, when you could take the whole 70 acres of hemp and concentrate it and not even get a tenth of a percent THC, but you would have to burn it because it's too high, you know. I mean, because, like, I know in Vermont they've had since, like, 96 or whatever, hemp legalized, but no one grows it because it's federally illegal, and they can, you can go to jail for growing hemp. But it looks promising, and hopefully this farm bill, when it gets passed, it does not become over-regulated, you know, to where, like, well, yeah, well, you're going to have your stuff tested and this and that, and if it's above a level that's like 65/1000ths of a percent, it wouldn't even get an ant high. You'd be like, oh, we have to burn all this? I mean, granted, you know, that's what I don't want to see, and I can see that happening. But from what I've read and some of the language of it, you know, the congressman said in a compromise that has been reached in the original language that the Senate Farm Bill would ban from hemp growing people to serve prison terms. So you wouldn't get in trouble if you're growing hemp. So it's going to be interesting to see when the final bill comes out, when I read the whole thing and I go through all, you know, if it's going to, what they're going to do too, because I'm sure there will be a way to, can they sit there and, because they probably have to test it 100% so that you're not having a situation where technically you're growing hemp, but it has THC, so I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see where this farm bill sits as it goes forward. The final wording hasn't come out, and it's going to be, I'm sure I'm going to have like a day and a half of just reading it, but it's going to be worth it just to see what transpires with this, because there's a lot of people who say, like, in, I think it's New Jersey, they want to legalize cannabis, but you can't grow it in your house. You can't do this. There's so many restrictions that they want to just say, we want to X this bill until we get a new one. If we can't grow our own cannabis, because in some states you can grow up to 10 plants, and then some people take the excess and they sell it to dispensaries. See, what I want to be able to do is I want to be able to go to a place where I can get like what Irvin Rosenfeld gets, where he gets cigarettes rolled, freeze dried, 10, and I just pick up a 10. Here's enough to have 3 a day. It's you know, these, you know, whatever, it's what I find I like. It has THC, it's got CBD. Bang. You know what I mean? That's just me. Because I'm a huge cannabis supporter, and I can't mention any names or anything, but I run a support group. So if you know anyone out there that has myopathy, we're almost at like 600 people now, and I'm more than likely, I'm going to have to start looking into seeing if someone wants to be admit, because doing it and reading everything by myself, it takes a lot of work. But I've been helping people out with CBD because they were like wanting to know about CBD and stuff. So I've been giving them advice on it and what I've used and what's worked for me and this and that. And they'll ask me, there's some questions they'll ask me, like, well, does this help? You know, do you have, and I'm like, well, it, to everyone's different. You know, if you have like tingling and numbness, can it, if you have like when I'm in pain and my legs are like numb and tingling and stuff from walking all day from my myopathy, can it help? And some people it does. With me, it helps not 100%, but like 70%. So it's kind of, it's like if I was to recommend it to my mom, I'd say, okay, well, I would do an indica for nighttime. If you want to get stuff done and accomplish stuff, I'd probably do a sativa. Start low I would probably start like a 9% THC, probably get an edible and see, because it would last longer. Get like a 10%, like a 10 milligram edible and cut it in quarters and try a quarter first and see how you do. Make sure it's not just like any other medication, okay? Make sure you have nothing to do or you don't have to do anything so you can see how it affects you. And go from there. Because that's been the biggest problem for us as a using community. If you've listened to my last couple shows, you know, it's always been a fact of, okay, well, I think I've had, like, in my whole life, like, twice where I knew what strain I got. And that's the problem, okay? If I need a sativa and I end up getting an indica, it doesn't help me. If I'm wanting something for pain and this is more for, like, my nausea and with my stomach, it's not going to help me. It wasn't until I went on my honeymoon to Colorado I could say, hey, this is what I'm dealing with. This is, yeah, this would work. This is what, you know. And I got to talk to actual butt tenders, and it was cool, you know. But it's slowly turning around where people are getting this notion that you have this, the negative stereotype is starting to go away. So it's really, really cool. It's just one of those things that I'm just excited for the future of it, because I'm one of those people that I hope to possibly be in the industry someday doing something to help others. I mean, I've been a chef my whole life, and it's kind of hard to be on my feet 24/7. And as my love for cooking is always going to be there, and it'll be one of the hardest days if I have to leave the kitchen. But at the same time, it's what will be best for my body. And my wife, and get me doing something so I can be not coming home like, you know, because I've been on the pain pill roller coaster, basically, where it's like, okay, I'm a criminal because you can't use them for any positive. The only thing you can use them for is sell them and shoot them up or grind them and cook them, because you can't possibly have, there's no good that comes out of a pain med. Even though I was the only one in my clinic that had not increased his dose and all this stuff. And so, but hey, I just try to learn all I can about cannabis, and it's kind of like wine. It just constantly, every time you turn around, there's new strains and this and that. And so, on my birthday, I'm looking at taking medical cannabis training in Michigan, and maybe something where I may have to take a train up. I don't know if it is a Amtrak service community, but depending, hopefully the weather's not bad and I can just drive up there.
You're driving. You're not taking no train. Really?
I'll be on the Trump train. What you talking about, huh? It'll have like a Donald Trump bumper head like this. No, it's not. They're not. See, they're not cool. They're not an Amtrak trained. Amtrak service. It might be. You never know. I mean, that would only be if I had no choice. If it was like, but at, no, if at worst, I would just rent a car. Like something better than what I have for snow. I have a Mustang. Mustang Sally is what I ride. Wow. I want to thank you so much for tuning into the program, that I hope you feel a part of, folks. And, you know, before you say no, learn about hemp, know about it, learn about it, study about it, and then you'll wake up and realize, how has it been illegal for so long? We could have better, cheaper ethanol in our gasoline. Yeah, the more you learn about hemp, the more you learn about cannabis, the more you study it, the more you realize it should never be illegal. It should never. Yeah. What did the government do? Why did they? How did I find this BS? But then you'll have the people that will never, you know, well, there's, you know, you'll have those people that, like, well, Yeah, you can show me a million things that say cannabis is good, but there's this one time I can show you this one instance. So if this one instance is bad, then it's all bad. You know, there's this one time. See, but the problem you have is a lot of these instances, well, this guy had 75 beers, 15 bottles of vodka, one hit off a joint, and you blame the joint.
Yeah.
That's the well, the problem has been is, like I said on my last program, is the High Times magazine. This is what I forgot to do. And that's what I was talking about this the other program the other day when it was like, you know, like when they ask a bud tender. Like people think that a bud tender is just like disjointed. No, what a bud tender should be is, how you doing? Okay, let me tell you something, ma'am. I've got a metabolic type muscular myopathy. I'm in severe pain every day. This is what works for me. Cannabis isn't for everybody. Some people can take pain meds, some people can take muscle relaxers, some can't, whatever. Just like any medication, some people it's gonna work great for, some people it's not gonna work great for. So you gotta wade through and find out what works for you. And cannabis may be your lifesaver. It may say, well, you know, it all depends. But this is what I do. I'm here to help try to find you a root. Thank you. You know, you're not just sitting there like, you don't sit there, you don't got a grappa bong on. Hey, what's up, man? Oh, man, I just had 10 edibles. Oh, man, I can't help you, man. I'm gone, dude. Yeah, that shrooms, man. Yeah, I had a 5-pound Hershey's chocolate of shrooms. Oh, man. Man, is it time to nap?
When we went to Colorado, we went to the dispensary. They, not like they were sitting there smoking, but they could answer the questions if we had any.
Yeah, they're knowledgeable.
They could let us look around if we wanted to.
Yeah. And he's like, oh, if you got it, yeah. And that's the thing. When I'm going to possibly, I'm going to look into, hopefully soon, in a couple weeks maybe, if I can afford it, if I can, Cannabis Training University. And you actually, hard to believe, you study. You learn about what the different strains are and what they do and what can help and what can't and what they can do and how to grow them and what's the best for this. And what. Yeah, we're not. It's not like, yeah, free. It's not like a free for all college party, you know. It's sort of like a wine person. Okay, you're having steak, au gratin potatoes, and grilled asparagus. Okay, I would probably do a Pinot Noir. You know, I mean, it's going to take a while for the mainstream people that are like anti it 100% to jump on board to say, hey, see, your grandparents, any of you moms and dads that are like 50 or 60, your grandparents would have used hemp. They would have had clothing made from it. But it's one of those things that, you know, we're having to take tons and tons of brainwashing years and turn people back around. Get them to realize, hey, it's a safe product. But, yes. I want to thank you so much for tuning into the program that you're a part of. And if you haven't heard by now, oh, wow. Hold on. Brian Kelly is Coach of the Year. Isn't that interesting? Isn't that great? Notre Dame finally back on top. That's because he's a upstanding man with an undefeated team. I still think whoever takes on Alabama is not gonna. They're gonna dominate. I'm just I'm just a lot of, I love college basketball. I love college football, but not as much when you find out that all these universities spend billions of dollars under the table to try to win. And it's just like, sad, you know, because you're there for an education, first and foremost. First and foremost, but it's just really cool to have him get that honor. Hi, you're on the air. Go ahead. Hello? Yeah, someone called in, but it got dropped off. So you can call back in if you have a question, but, you know, it's just, I mean, I guess I kind of look at college football and stuff like politics, because under the table they're funneling, here's Nike funneling millions of dollars to a player so that he can come to this university or that university. It's all corrupt. It's all, you know. But I want to get into a little bit of Premier League action, folks, and stuff like that, because, as you know, Manchester United is eighth in the table with 23 points. Sixth because of goal differential. But here's the... And I'm not saying that. Well, Mourinho sucks. Mourinho should have been gone a long time ago. I wonder how far down in the table they'll go before they get rid of him. They'll win two games. He'll win the next two games because they drew against Arsenal 2-2. And on the Yahoo Sports app, I was one of like 10% that believed it would be a draw, and I was right because I'm pretty close on football. But with Manchester United, folks, are we going to have to get mathematically out of the Champions League and have to go back to the Europa League next year before they get rid of Mourinho? Is it going to be too late? We have decent players. I just wonder if they're fed up with Mourinho and they want him gone. And like, why aren't the owners doing anything? I mean, if De Gea was to leave, I would understand. I would understand that some of these players, like, hey, if you're going to keep him, bye-bye. You got to understand the dynamic here, because Jose Mourinho is someone that wants like a Jerome Boateng or an older player like a Ronaldo, someone that he doesn't have to do anything with. Okay, this is my setup. Get out there and get it done. You already know what to do. He doesn't want to have to take and mentor and coach a youngster. If you want to give Jose Mourinho more money, why? He spent $50 million on Fred and he didn't play the guy. So what's the point? What's the point of playing Jose Mourinho? What's the point of paying Jose Mourinho? Pay him whatever it has to get rid of his damn contract and get him out of there. Have Michael Carrick run the team until we figure out. Okay, go out there. Okay, when you come to Old Trafford, folks, take your shirts off, rip your heart out, put your jersey on, and give it to God. Give everything you've got me the result up to him. That's the problem. They're running it like a business. Right now, the stock is going down. I mean, I wonder if, like, he would lose three or four games in a row. Would it take that to... I don't know. I don't know. I mean, I don't get it. I don't get it. I don't understand. I'm just, why they can't get rid of... I mean, Southampton got rid of their manager. But they got to keep him. Well, he might... He could pop. There's still a chance. There's still a chance we could go down to the relegation zone. The way we're playing. I don't know. I just don't get it. I don't. Yeah, my wife who's never Tim fans like, because this is one of the few times that she can actually brag that they're better, and they are better. Maybe they should take. Well, he's going to come back and be like a help out as an assistant at Everton. And that's awesome. Because they see the value in him as an assistant. You know, I mean, Arsenal is just a better team. Hate to say it, but they are.
Liverpool's a better team. Chelsea's getting to be a better team.
Yeah.
What the heck?
Yeah.
You know I don't like to say that about Chelsea.
Oh, I know. Yep, but that's how it is, though. That's when you look at Arsenal and some of these players, some of these the players. It's just crazy. I'm just at a loss. Got 2 minutes left, folks, in the program. I mean, I would take Unai Emery right now at United over Jose Mourinho. Got about 90 seconds left in the program. That says something. I would take Unai Emery. At least he would want something. He's at least, he's not the greatest, but at least he's not wanting to settle for mediocre. I still firmly stand by my belief that when Jose Mourinho was asked, can he win with the players he has a title, and he refused to answer that, I kind of feel, guess what, folks? That's when he sealed his fate with the players. Call it whatever you want, but that's how I see it. Just remember, folks, no matter what you're into, no matter what you do, do something, okay? If you're a liberal, that's great. Get out and do something positive and constructive. Don't just bash people. Don't just try to keep people from talking or break windows. Make yourself constructive. Do something. Make your community better. And remember, folks, with a firm alliance and the protection of divine providence, we mutually pleasure each other, our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. Until next Tuesday, good night all, and God bless. Goodbye.